Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha illaka. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. Further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Glory is to you, O Allah, and to you is the praise, and blessed is your name. There is none to be worshipped besides you. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. There is peace be unto you, Welcome to the airways of America Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is a broadcast of the Female Solution. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I am half of the host here on the Female Solution. I am Kareem Hamid, along with Naima Latif, the executive director and producer of the Female Solution, a program emanating from out of Chicago, Illinois. We are grateful to simulcast with her each and every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. As we await our beloved sister, I want to share an important public service announcement with you, inshallah. And as we await our sister, Naima Latif, to join me on the airways, we are grateful for your presence each and every Wednesday for the exciting, educational, and invigorating broadcast, The Female Solution. I ask you at this time, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. You are listening to The Female Solution.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Imam Dr. Wazir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something. Something that strikes at the very heart of our families and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses and that helps us to see an even deeper and systemic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me are a We Too movement, in which we say no more. We must be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors, hold workshops in your community, invite experts to learn more, and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.
And we are back. I believe my co-host has joined us here. I'm going to open up her mic. I believe this is her number.
Unmuted.
Yes. And we are certainly happy to be joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, as we prepare to introduce our guest today. And we're so excited because we want those of you who are struggling with issues of fatherlessness to not be bitter or angry, but to understand we're going through a transformation so that we can raise our sons and daughters differently, to prepare them for that critical partnership, because we're understanding what happens in the absence of it. And so we can correct the mistakes that we have made in the past that caused us to experience what we're experiencing in our families, the brokenness, the anger, the unwillingness to cooperate. And we now know that it is important for us to work together, but how do we heal the hurt from the absence? And how do we teach our sons differently than the way their fathers were taught, so that we are raising emotionally healthy women who can then raise emotionally healthy children. So I want to welcome to our show this morning our co-host, Kareem Ami, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Assalam. Naima, praise be to Almighty God Allah. He has returned us back to our bodies this wonderful morning, yeah. And we're grateful to him for waking us up. It's a very bright and sunny day here in St. Louis. It's a beautiful morning. Praise be to Almighty God Allah, and we thank him for that. Every day is a new day to do better than the day that preceded it. Praise be to Allah. And this is one of those days. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. The yes. subject matter that you are bringing is very important. And we pray, Allah, that we hear from the listening audience their reflections, their wisdom, and their insight on how do we mend the broken family, and especially a fatherless household, a fatherless families. That's a major breach in the family relationship. Praise be to Allah. You know, the hurt that our children feel for the lack of the presence of father. We ask, how can we mend? How can we correct that? There are many suggestions that will be given, but I was thinking as you were speaking to the hurt that you feel for having an absent father. In some cases, we can turn hurt into cure and into curative measures. You know, the same hurt that you feel, you can turn that around and you become a better person. Whatever the hurt is, reverse it. Carry yourself in another way that relieves the pain, and that you do not become a perpetrator of the pain that you feel. You know, of the pain that you feel. So that's what I would offer as a curative measure. Say, boy, I feel so bad. I didn't know my father. He wasn't present. Oh, boy, those are true feelings. Those are true feelings. But the person that is experiencing that can turn that around. Don't be, praise be to Allah, don't you become an absent father.
Don't be,
So one of the measures that we can utilize to mend one of the most sacred unions other than the union between God and humans. The next sacred union is the family. No, it's male, praise be to Allah, is female and male relationship, which build the family. So we can take lemons and make lemonade. We can take pain.
Absolutely.
And produce a healing.
Yes.
That's one of the measures. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we can. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, we've got a wonderful guest today. She was on with us last week as one of the young women who shared some very intense challenges that they've overcome. And we asked her back because she's got a story that's just amazing. And I look at it as a story of triumph, a story of learning, and a story of hope that all of us can learn from. We can go through life and make decisions that are painful, but they teach us something, and they allow us to be teachers of others. So we wanted to give her an opportunity to be that teacher today by sharing her story. Because often we as women, we make choices of men that are not emotionally available and are not capable of being that loving partner because they're so deeply wounded. But we don't know that because we don't know what a healthy relationship looks like because we didn't see it in our own lives. And what does a healthy romantic relationship look like? Well, how do you know if you never saw it in your home? Father's Day approaches. And we look at the dilemma of fatherless daughters and how the absence of a loving male in their childhood impacts their capacity to make good choices when it comes to selecting a mate. We want to introduce to you today, or of course reintroduce for those who heard a bit of her story last week, LaToya Wiseman, who is founder of Women on the Move. And she's joining us today to share her story, and we're so pleased to have her with us. Thank you so much, and welcome once again, LaToya Wiseman, to the Female Solution.
Welcome, LaToya.
And your mic is, yes, LaToya. And thank you so much for being with us, LaToya. We appreciate what you represent in terms of young women who have learned from life and learned from life's lessons. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Certainly it is not easy living this life. And so we want to say thank you for joining us today on The Female Solution. And your
good
mic
morning,
is open.
Good morning.
There you are.
Good morning. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank
yes,
you
we
so
should.
Much for allowing me back on the show. I want to give the world a little bit of me and my background. So for me, it all started as a young girl. I was abused when I was little by my mom and some other people in the home. So that led me to go to foster homes. So all my young life, I was going from foster home, foster home, foster home, foster home. And at about the age of 10 or 13, I finally got adopted by the Wiseman family. And I thank God for them. So I had to undergo talking to a therapist every week. I had a lot of behavioral challenges in school. I was on Ritalin. I was treated differently from the other children in school because I was acting out. So, for example, when the other kids would go on field trips and stuff like that, I was acting out so bad, I had to stay back. So instead of me also having pizza and chips and ice cream and juice with the other kids, I was eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and an apple and a contain and some milk because I was acting out so bad. So my teachers, they couldn't control me, so they put me on medicine. So growing up, becoming a young adult, I was very angry. And I'm like, why am I so angry? So everything started from when I was younger because I didn't know who my mom was. I didn't understand why she gave me up. I didn't even know who my dad was until I got in my early 40s. One day I'm having a conversation with my mom, because I've always wanted to know who my dad was. And she just finally told me, so all I have is a name, his name, and where he's from. And that's it. I don't know if he's chocolate like me. I don't know if he's tall, thin, I don't know if he's husky. I don't know much about him because she gave me such a vague description of him. So while I started having kids at the age of fresh out of high school, at the age of I had my first son when I was 21 years old. I didn't make a good choice because I was abused and by him, so physically, emotionally, spiritually, and I'm like, okay, I know this is not love. So what do I supposed to do? You know, and so he introduced me to alcohol, and then I got into some trouble that had a lot to do with anger. I was really angry because I always thought something was wrong with me when I was little, and that was due to the things that I experienced in a unhealthy, stable home. My mom was an addict. Uncles and aunties addicts. So I really didn't have a clear understanding of a father's love. I had always yearned for my father. I've always wanted to know who my father is. So I looked for love in all the wrong places. Mm. I thought if I had a man, somebody that I can, you know, hang out with, and so on, that would complete me. That didn't complete me. I started doing the things that my significant other did. So the drinking, which wasn't good at all, and that changed my personality. Because I was somebody else because I was under the influence of alcohol. And so I was drinking the alcohol, breakfast, lunch, and dinner because that's what he did.
Right.
I'm like, I got to make a change. I got to make a change. Mind you, I was raised in a church. I was raised in a church, and I thank God for the Wiseman family. I thank God for my church family. And so today, now I know how to choose a man.
Mm.
And right now in my life, I don't think that I need to be in a intimate relationship because I just transitioned again from being in a domestic, unhealthy relationship here back in November 19th of last year. And so now what I'm doing is I'm praying and I'm asking God to send the right people in my life that's going to help me get to where I need to be as far as helping me with my goals, the things, my dreams and stuff like that. Because now I have an infant. I have another son that I have to make sure he's rooted and grounded in church. So that means I have to make sure that I'm spiritually and emotionally stable. So past how I ran after the men trying to love because I didn't know who my father was, now I'm running after Jesus. So that means whenever the doors of the church is open, LaToya Wiseman and her family is there. Because for so long, I tried to do things on my own. I tried to be in the driver's seat. So I had put God on the back burner. This was in the past. But now, since I've had all these challenges and obstacles and stuff like that, I'm running after Jesus. So yes, and that's very, very, very important, because every day I have to take my personal inventory. So that's Psalms 51. I have to say, God, create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit. So I try to treat people the way that I would want to be treated. Don't get me wrong, I don't cross every T and I don't dot every I. However, I try not to be hard on myself, because every day I wake up is a brand new day. And I know who woke me up, Jesus. He wakes me up in the morning. He gives me the strength that I need every day. So when I think about Father's Day and, you know, wanting to go to dinner with my father or just sit down and talk to my dad, ask him what his favorite food is and stuff like that, or his favorite color, or his favorite sports. You know, I get very emotional because I've always yearned for my father. So what I do is I have to go into prayer, and I have to ask God to heal my heart, because I know that he loves me unconditionally. And so I rest in his arms, and I cry, and I ask him, you know, like, where is my dad? I hope he's okay. Yeah. I would love to meet him someday. So when I talk to God, I talk to God like I'm talking to my sister or my best friend or my psychologist. And he loves that. So my personal relationship with Jesus is that's what's up in my life. I know that I need him because he's helped me overcome all the obstacles that I've been through in life, and I thank him for that daily. I thank him for all the people that he's put in my life, all the different organizations. God is just so amazing. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is that my God, he shall supply all my needs, and he'll give me the strength that I need day to day. And so not knowing my father and so on, I know that I have a heavenly father that sits high and looks down on all of his daughters and his sons. And I know that every time I walk out the front door and run errands or whatever I may have planned for that day, I know that he's with me. And that brings me a lot of joy, that I have a heavenly father. I don't know my natural father. However, my heavenly father, he's there, and he feels my pain. He knows that I'm hurting. He knows what I'm thinking, because he designed me in his image and in his likeness. So he already knows that I'm yearning for my father. He already knows that when Father's Day come around, that LaToya, you know, she gets sad because she has two boys that she would like them to meet their grandfather. However, Latoya doesn't know who her dad is.
Mm.
Yet God is there. God is there, and he knows.
That's a powerful message. That's a powerful message, especially for a lot of men who may have daughters and sons that they have not seen. But for different reasons, they may feel either ashamed or uncertain if they should reach out. So you have certainly touched some hearts. We have to take a break, and when we come back, we've got some callers on the line, and if you, of course, want to speak to our guests and our host and co-host, we want you to press 1, and you can call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891, and press 1, that lights your number up on our switchboard and lets us know you have something to say. So if you're on our switchboard now and got a thought you'd like to share, we want you to press 1. We're talking to Latoya Wiseman, who is founder of Women on the Move, and she has overcome the pain, but has insight to share for those who are still struggling with the hurt of fatherlessness. So we'll be right back, and we'll show you her beautiful face after this message. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment, and we want you.
So I was telling my brothers if they ever had daughters to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated, so they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference. With God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We are openly acknowledging that God is one, that there are absolutely no partners with God, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of the one God. Through his example, we are able to live in this time, 450 years beyond the time of enslavement, here in the United States of America. Proactively and from the mercy of the Almighty, we stand with the human family that Juneteenth is a reminder of what once was and how we can take a stand and be a contributing factor to the human family for the best of humanity, continuing to strive with the excellence that our foreparents stood with and for, many who lost their lives because they chose not to be subdued and treated inhumanely. Juneteenth, again, is as a soul arising by the mercy of the one God. And now, welcome, dear human family, to Juneteenth 2021.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
Be activated.
works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
What if you could live to be 120?
Assalamu alaikum, this is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Five one five 605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we have with us an outstanding guest today. We are talking to Latoya Wiseman, founder of Women on the Move, and an overcomer, one who is growing in her wisdom. I'm sure that name was a prophetic non-coincidence because she today is sharing her wisdom with us today. And as a young woman going through the pain of fatherlessness, discovered that the father of us all is always there, our creator and sustainer, one who has infused us with the spirit of love, is able to heal the hurt and the pain when our earthly parents fall short. So we want to thank you again, Latoya, for giving us your insight. And we've got some callers on the line who have a thought to share. And if you're on our switchboard, we invite you to press 1. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts again. That number is 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And just press 1, and we'll open your mic and have you share your thoughts. And let's go. I'm going to take you in this order. So hold on, everybody. 331-271, and then 773-318, and then 773-737. So hold on. Everybody get an opportunity to speak first. Let me go to 331-271, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for
My name is Rosalie. I'm calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was on the podcast last week with you guys. I'm Latoya's little sister.
Yes,
I would like to share that's going to enlighten me as far as with fatherhood and what I experienced as far as with not having a father in my life. I was a sick child when I was young, and my mom was pretty young when she had me. And like I said, I was born in Chicago, Illinois, but I was raised in Milwaukee. In the 80s, what I was understood was that before I can come home to my mom, my mom had to learn medical procedures to have me home with her. And I guess that it was a little bit overwhelmed because she had my sisters and brothers trying to take care of a sick child. My colostomy bag that was on the side of me got bagged up, and I got sick really bad, which meant I had to get rushed to the hospital. And to my knowledge, my mom said they charged her with medical neglect. at a young age. I was placed in foster care at a baby, all the way to the age of 9. My foster mother, she took care of me. Now, I was not able to, you know, eat food or table food or the milk that the babies used to drink because I was a sick baby. My milk had to come from FedEx, and the milk was expensive back then in the 80s. It was like $500 a month for the type of milk that I had. I wasn't able to, you know, drink the regular milk the other babies was drinking. So my foster mother, she did introduce me, was the first to introduce me to food, table food. My mom would come and visit me and do all the procedures that it was to try to get me back. When I turned 9 years old, my foster mother was like, you know, I know this is my last day having Rosalie, but can I have a big birthday party, a Little Mermaid birthday party for her before she go home to you? My mom said, you know what, that's fine. You can go ahead and do that. So I celebrated my last day with my foster mother. When I went home with my mom, a lot of things that I didn't understand as a child that was going on. Like I said, my mom, she was on drugs real bad. Her choice of drugs was cocaine, and then she was having a lot of different men come over, and it was like, okay, what do I do now? I'm 9 years old. I come from a background of church because I grew up in foster care with my foster mother, my granny that I call her. We grew up in church, church in and out, church on Monday, 7 days out of a week. We going to church. We even on the days that we was out of school, we would go to summer camp. So when I got introduced to my mom, going home with her and my little sisters, everybody was like treating me a certain kind of way. They wouldn't listen to me and was showing me bad stuff like stealing and you know, things that kids don't supposed to be doing that I was learning when I came home to my mom. My mom, like I said, her choice of drug was cocaine. And she moved me a lot of different places. I was, like, really confused because I'm like, okay, I came from foster care where you got to make up your bed before you can go outside. The house got to be clean before you can have company and stuff like that. So when I was transitioning to my mom's house and I'm looking like, okay, the house is nasty. I'm in a project. That's when Cabrini Projects was before they tore them down. I was like, okay, what did I do? So a lot of bad things was happening to me not having a father. I was looking up to the wrong man in my mother's household. My brother was slanging and banging, doing things that I was not used to as a child. So I was like, okay, how do I transition at 9 years old to try to, you know, do the things that I was taught in foster care? I kept everything that my foster mother had taught me, like be nice, be kind, be loving. So I transitioned to all that. As I got older, I would watch my mom go through abusive relationships with her guy or whoever she had, you know, contact with. And then, you know, we never kept a house. We always just going living with other people. I end up going with my, you know, living with my aunties and uncles and stuff and the man figures in our family because I didn't have a dad. My dad died at 5. He got shot in Chicago. Mm. So as far as me having a father figure around, I had to look up to my uncles who, you know, took part in our lives, but they were slanging and banging. So all the clothes and all the stuff that I was getting came from drug money. Once again, I didn't know how is it like to have a father because I'm like, okay, is this the real father? So then when I got older, I started doing that. I started selling drugs. I started picking up bad behavior that wasn't good, but that's what I was taught. And I started doing things, and I started catching the cases and doing stuff that wasn't good. Every time I, you know, Father's Day come around, I would ask my mama, like, okay, how was my father when he was living? How was he? She would tell me, he was abusive. He beat me morning, lunch, and dinner. He wasn't a good man. Then she started mentally abusing me, telling me that I look just like my daddy. You ugly. Don't smile. My uncle's going to tell me, don't smile. You look like your daddy, your daddy's side of family. Like, she used to always, because of what my father did to her and because I looked just like him, I got taken advantage of mentally, financially, emotionally. I started getting depressed at a young age. I started getting, feeling like, dang, if my daddy was alive, would I be going through this? Like, it's not fair to me that I'm a child. I'm a kid. I'm asking questions like, how was my dad? What was he like? I mean, you know, will we be struggling like we're struggling? The only thing my mom can say is negative stuff about him. So I started doing my own research. I said, you know what? I'm gonna reach out to my own, you know, because when I was in high school, we had computers. So I was smart. I was like, you know what? She gave me his last name. That's all she gave me, and his first name. So I was like, I was going to go on zavasearch.com. When Facebook started coming around, I started going on Facebook and saying, I'm going to meet my daddy's side of the family. Since my mom got so much negativity to say about my dad, how about I reach out on my own to see what they're about? And one day I reached out to them, and I told them I was looking for my grandmother and my father, the Pitter family, and they reached out to me, and I was like, well, I'm your cousin. And that's how we linked up. And right away, I took a trip from Milwaukee, Wisconsin at 18 to find my daddy. Side of the family, and they told me, well, your daddy was a good man. And, you know, that was like your grandmother passed in 2003. She talked a lot about you guys, and she remembered you guys as a little kid. We remember you was a sick baby. We tried to find you, but we didn't know where you was at. I said, my mama moved out of Chicago and moved us in Milwaukee, 92, and all heck broke loose from then. So I know how it feels to come from a broken home. I know how it feels to be alone, and the only source of dependency that you got is try to be looked up to from the people that have been around in my family. And I just wish that my father was around to help me make the better choices in my life. I never was in relationships with any guys or bad male figures or anything because I watched my mama go through that. I watched my little sister pick the wrong choice of man. So I had it already in the back of my head, like, I don't want to live with that. I don't want to do that. That don't look appealing to me, or that don't look like it's right. So I always say to myself, and I was like, God gave me the strength to not deal with that. And I thank God every day that I didn't have to deal with abusive situations in a relationship in high school or bringing up, because I paid attention. I observed a lot. And I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not meant for me to be in a relationship. Maybe it's not meant for me to have one day God will send that right person to me. But right now, I've been praying since I left at 9. I knew how to get on my knees and pray because my foster mother taught me loving, caring, how to treat people with respect. And so I learned at an early age, so I endured that in me as I got older. So my like I said, me talking on the phone every day.
Yes, and that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, Rosalie, you're showing how important it is for those who choose to be foster parents. You can instill something in a child that they cannot get anywhere else. And you can provide that nurturing, that guidance, that stability that they didn't get from their blood parents. So fostering is important. Being a surrogate mother or father, that's important because those principles, they stay with the person.
Yeah.
And I thank you so much, Rosalie, for your contribution to this conversation, because I think a lot of people may be inspired to think about being a foster parent. The reason why children are in foster care is because something has happened that their own parents are not able to take care of them. And when you don't have a parent, look at all the things that can happen, abuse, neglect, things that the children go through, and then the anger that comes from that because you don't have loving parents. So we have to step up, people. If you got space in your home, in your heart, step up and help that child who doesn't have somebody to take care of them. So thanks so much, Rosalie. You may get a chance to come back to you before.
Okay.
I'm going to take a couple of other calls. But before we do, I want to give our guest a chance to respond and our cold chance to respond. Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, we have, I believe it's three callers here. Our voice is lit up also. This is a very valuable conversation we're having now. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people, I'm sure, can identify with what they've heard because so many are going through the same thing. So we've got three calls on this line too. So, and then we also want to bring in Kathy Ellington, who is a grief counselor and has worked with so many young people who are going through the difficult process of dealing with the pain of their the absence of their parents. But before we do that, let me let you take a call from your switchboard, and then we'll bring on Kathy, and then, of course, back to our guest. First of all, go take one of your calls, and then we'll come back to our switchboard.
Error code 312778. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Yes, please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Okay. They are not responding. Take your phone off of mute.
All right.
Okay, I'll move now to error code 312833. Error code 312833.
We're on Yachalom, Grand Rising. Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Plump. This is my new number,
yes,
Brother
sir.
Kareem. Yes,
okay. I'm going to write that down.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just want to wish Brother Kareem and all of the brothers, men on a mission. I'm one of the men on a mission. And I know what happens for any family, and family is next to God. You know, God is always first, last, and foremost in my life. And then the young lady, you know, that was just on, you know, missing her father. And then also her father got killed, I think, at the age of 5, she said. And, you know, things is just always a problem if a father's not in the home. So we're going to encourage and, brothers and sisters, you know, to even do like what Sister Naima just suggested, and thank God for the Female Solution, for a whole family to become one family, you know, two parents in the household, and then they should be married. You know, and when they get ready to get married, Brother Kareem, be sure and call Brother Plump at this number here, the 312-833-0475. And we're getting ready for a happy Father's Day. How many children you got, Brother Kareem?
I have 3 children.
Hallelujah.
2 daughters and 1 adopted male, praise be to Allah.
And, Allah Akbar.
Praise be to Allah.
No,
yes,
you
sir.
Say an adopted male. That
yes,
means that you have stepped in and stepped up.
Yes.
And have been that father figure for somebody whose perhaps blood father was not there. That's a critical thing. And that really is the answer to a lot of the behavior, as we've heard from our guest and our previous caller. When young people act out, it is because of that absent father. It's because of the low self-esteem. It's because of the misguidance. That really is the reason why we're going through what we're going through with our children right now. That is
you
it.
Right.
So
the
foster
name?
Fathers, they have the solution. Yeah.
Yes, you're right. I know I wasn't when, you know, my wife, my first wife, she raised my daughter, and she was a father's child or baby, as they say. She loved her father. However, you know, her mother, I would say, didn't do all of the right good things, because even though she told her daughter, or you know, which is my daughter too, that I was a good man, and my family called me a dutiful boy. I like that too. I know Brother Kareem is a dutiful man, and we got to do the best we can. See, he's a dutiful man because he adopted a child, especially a male child. So that made him a whole man. A real man, and I thank Allah for him, and I thank Allah for also his teacher, Imam Wardeen Muhammad. because I
praise
learned a lot. Praise Allah. Allah Akbar. Allah God. God is the greatest. And I'm just happy that I'm a father. I'm a father, and I'm a grandfather, and I'm a even a great-grandfather. And most of all, I'm a caretaker. You know, like
That's important.
Yes, I'm a caretaker of Chicago, and I remember my spiritual.
Well, we appreciate all that you do in caretaking here in Chicago and being an example. Minister Plum, we're going to try to squeeze in a couple more calls before we get to the break.
Okay.
But we thank you so much for calling in and always setting that example. We appreciate it.
We're going to be at the Washington Park Field House for Father's Day for the parade. We're going to be doing the parade for Mayor Washington belated Earth Day birthday, April 15th, 2023. But we're going to
keep
be
on
doing
being an activist out here. Definitely. Keep
you
being an
what?
Activist out here and setting an example and being a leader, because
yes.
that's what we need, more leaders. And we want to take a caller before we get to the break and then bring back our guests for some remarks.
Thank you. God bless you.
As we look at ways that we need to include the men in our lives, speak well of them, and also heal the hurt from our separation. I want to open the mic for my dear sister, Kathy Ellington, who is a grief counselor and one who introduced me to our wonderful guest today. Thank you so much for joining us, my sister Kathy.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Naima. Praise the Lord, Latoya. Praise the Lord for everybody on the line. Can you guys hear me really clearly?
Yes, we can. And how are you today,
okay.
my sister?
I am super, super fantastic, not just okay. I am just so excited. Yeah, that's my, I've been saying that, Naima, for the past, I would say, 34 years, that I am super, super fantastic, not just okay. You know my story. Anyone on the air, you can look at the previous shows that we did, I did with Naima on the Female Solution, how I was extremely suicidal and how the Lord brought me back from that. But I want to address two things that I heard from my sister, Latoya, and from Rosalie. I want to say something about that. When you don't have, you can have a biological father that's in the house, but still not a father.
Right.
Okay, I had a dad like that. I had a father that, to the outside world, he was an angel. He worked hard. He made a lot of money. But once he came home and those doors were closed, he was a monster.
Mm.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, he was not emotionally available to me. And I definitely relate to Rosalie, how she said her biological mom basically broke her down emotionally, and she felt an enormous amount of rejection and negative feelings toward Rosalie. I can relate to that from my biological father and from my siblings who had a lot of animosity because I wasn't like them. And Rosalie and my sister Latoya and Naima, you know that I am a certified bereavement specialist. I counsel and for free. And Naima, we're going to put that phone line up again because with we're going
to
put that line up again. We offer 24-hour free counseling. A lot of the anger issues that my sister in Christ, Latoya, went through was she mentioned that anger. She was angry because she didn't understand why her biological mom gave her up but kept the other kids. And then with Rosalie, she was in total rejection shock. She might have experienced some anger too because here she is, a 9-year-old child, going from a grandparent that brought her up the right way morally, and then she goes, she's thrown into this environment where she's almost trying to be reprogrammed for a totally different lifestyle. And Rosalie, I just want to thank you for your testimony because you inspired me. Even though I am a licensed, certified bereavement grief counselor, I'm a licensed minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I never thought about maybe I should foster some children. I was never blessed. My womb was never blessed to give birth. However, after listening to your testimony, I'm going to pray about that because I have a huge house. Naima, you know that I'm opening up a homeless shelter for women with children. You know that, Naima. So God is just so good. But I wanted to talk about the rejection and the anger. Grief is grief. And having a loss of a natural father is a part of the grieving process. Naima, did you find that phone number? Because I want your audience to get that
Give
number.
It to me again. I'll just type it in again so that we can put it up on the screen.
Okay, it's 773-256-4144. That's 773-256-4144. We offer 24-hour counseling for anyone. You can call in 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Me and about 9 other counselors, what we do is we help you go through the grieving process. That's 773-256-4144. And Rosalie, I applaud you for being a survivor. My sister in Christ, LaToya, I am so proud of you, girl. Our Heavenly Father has been there for us. 773-256-4144.
Yes, yes, that is for counseling. We want you all to call that number because you don't have to suffer alone.
Yes.
And there are people who care.
Yes, and with Naima with Rosalie and LaToya, they went through the grieving process, even as children, especially as children. Our kids now acting out, and you see it all over the news. The kids are acting out because kids are not, we were growing up, we never had to go to funerals of our classmates. So these kids are going through grief. They really are. So I just applaud my sister in Christ, LaToya and Rosalie. I'm just so proud of you guys. Okay, I'm going to let other callers in. If you guys have any other questions for me, I'm here.
All right. Well, thanks so much for standing by. We will certainly bring you back for more. And, again, we've got the number on the screen for those who are watching us on Facebook and YouTube, a Female Solution for free counseling. Call 24 hours, 773-256-4144. That's 773-256-4144. And we want to take another break. We're going to come back with our guest, LaToya Wiseman. And we, of course, going to take our callers. And we want to hear from you. We're looking today at how to overcome the pain of fatherlessness, especially for daughters who didn't have the father in the home to give them a sense of love, protection, and guidance. What do we do? So we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Assalamu alaikum, dear. What's wrong?
It's just frustrating, you know, like, I can't seem to find anything on the radio dedicated to Islam.
Have you looked on the internet?
Well, I mean, no, I was too busy looking on the radio, but, you know, might as well give it a try. Even on the internet. Nothing, everything is Islam is this and Islam is that. But where's our voice? There's got to be somewhere. There's got to be somewhere I can go.
Wait. I know just the perfect place. Check this out.
electronic-based, curriculum-based education that was taken out of the running. Our education is not producing for us. There's something.
Rather you, we vote it out. We know it's the creed. You know, things have been written 50,000 years before creation, so we've already written the pen and left its pages are drawn because Allah already knows.
And having no other recourse but to blame ourselves when things don't go the way we like them to go. Because who can we blame at this point? America was able to get away with putting two candidates up to run for president that really have not suited the values that Muslims have.
Other issues going on around the country as well, we want to make you aware of, and the general media is not focusing on that. We're talking about Standing Rock out in North Dakota, where they're trying to build a pipeline across indigenous people's land which was basically negotiated. Basically, as Muslims, the Prophet Islam said, when we see a wrong, we change it with our hands. If we cannot do that, we speak out against it. If we cannot do that, hate it in our hearts.
Wow, honey, this is exactly what I was looking for. What is this?
American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in America.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdul Aziz, program manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alay, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then, eventually, national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network 24/7. Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
That a father provides. And yet we know that there is a greater Father that can heal the hurt. We want to,
Naima,
before we take our next caller at, yes.
Yes. I'm not sure which speaker said it, but it is so true. She said that her father was honored in the community in which they lived. But when he got home behind closed doors, he became a monster. You know.
Now that's something
that
to
word,
think about.
Right. That word, daddy. Anybody can be a daddy, but it takes exception to be a father. We say that that men are the maintainers and the protectors of females, and Some of us men think that, well, as long as we're providing the material needs, you know, that we are actually meeting our job. But it goes far beyond that. A maintenance means that you are aware of the emotional condition of those that God has entrusted you with. The male has also a nurturing spirit, and he And in his maintaining, he should be aware of the emotional condition of those that he's been entrusted with. So nurturing is not just an attribute of female. It's an attribute of the male. And that is what fathers, not daddy, that is what fathers take into account as their charge. I'll stop right there. My sister, we have two callers on the line whenever you're ready.
Yes. Yeah, we want to make sure we get to all the callers. So we're going to take the callers now, and then we'll get back to our guests for some responses. And Kathy and Ellington, I believe that she was the one who, you know, had the experience of the the father that had the great image outside, but inside was a monster. And she said, some men are just donors, not a true father. She shared that comment on our Facebook page, our Facebook and YouTube page. And just because somebody has a great reputation outside the home, you don't know what's happening in the house. And she says that father's love is not the same as just a man as being a sperm donor, as they say. Here's the love and the nurturing. And you have to learn how to do that. And you learn how to do that by seeing it. She mentioned, you know, Barack Obama, who, if you read his autobiography, he didn't really know his father, but his grandparents were careful to create an image in his mind so that he would not feel bad. And then when he went to Kenya, he discovered some unpleasant truths about his father. And this is what happens sometimes when we go looking for the man that we didn't get to know, and we discover, sometimes we discover something good and sometimes we discover some disappointments. Let me go to our phone line. 773-737, your mic is open. Please introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your words of wisdom today.
Cattle.
773-737, your mic is open. Are you with us? Okay, I'm going to go back. I think they might be a little distracted right now. Let's go to, let's see, 312-778. I don't believe we've spoken to you yet. Your mic is open. Go right ahead. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Hi, yes. My name is Sarah Israel, a.k.a. better known as Miss Pooh Bay.
Thank you for calling.
Hi, yes. I would like to shout out all the men and women out there, as well as Harold Washington Foundation. We have an upcoming event, Father's Day event, June 18th. I would love to see all
Yeah, we were told about that. Yes. Now, Sarah, you say your last name is Israel. Sarah Israel?
Yes.
I want to make sure I pull your name up on the screen. Okay, yes. I want to make sure I pull your name up on the screen as you're speaking. So, Sarah, you know, a lot of us as women who are raising children, some of us have internal pain because of whatever our relationship with our fathers may have been. What was your experience growing up with your father?
Hi, yes. I just recently buried my father. I yearned for a relationship with him my whole life. Just about 2 weeks ago, I poured my heart out to him, telling him that I want a relationship with him, and it fell on deaf ears. 4 days later, he passed, and I never got that closure. I never got that closure from him. But I praise God for the men that I do have in my life. I have my husband in my life, my two sons, to fill that void that I did not get from my father, that I earnestly wanted. As well as, I had, you know, an uncle who raised me, you know, but it's not like having that father with me.
Right.
So the void that wasn't filled to me, you know what I'm saying, I would make sure that my sons feel all the love and all the support and everything that I didn't get, they would have that, you know, in their lives. You know, so I, that's my experience, you know, with being fatherless, but having, you know, the tools and the husband and the son to raise up in the right way that they should go.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you so much for sharing your testimony, Sarah. We appreciate you so much. And let's go back to your switchboard. You've got a couple of callers, and then we're going to go back to our switchboard, 773-530. You're next after that. You have another caller, Brother Kareem. And while he's bringing in that caller, we've got some comments on our Facebook and YouTube page. And Kathy shared the thought that, like Rosalie, Barack Obama had some awesome grandparents. You know, sometimes that those grandparents can save the day. And she says, I truly support fostering, definitely. And definitely, if you are able to be a foster parent, we want you to look into that. We're going to have someone on who specializes in foster care on to take us through that process. But, Kareem, you had that next call that you want to pull up? Yes, alaykum salam. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments, please.
Yes, this is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah, Prophet Muhammad, by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And as we know, this is a great subject that we're speaking on. And like all subjects, you know, we have to, inshallah, start with what Allah say and then the example he has given us in the life of Prophet Muhammad. And we know that one of them is that Allah said the women, the mother. Also, we have to take the example when we were told by Allah to turn to the correct Qibla. So when we turn around and we start to apply the moral character and direction of the mother to her daughter about what is a good man, and especially if she has a believing man in that circle, and this is not a single parent home. But we will at least start the cycle of teaching our daughters and our future mothers on how the type of man to accept in her life. And like all time when we look at the history, Allah shows us that believing men, the messengers, the prophets, are the best example when you're in a situation where you don't have any example. And we know how strong that this story of this fictitious person called Jesus Christ, how for years in our community, Jesus Christ was the example of the type of man who our women gyrated to and didn't want to be bothered with us because of our oppression from the people under the influence of Shaitan. Because we drank, we did this, we did that, we couldn't keep our word, etc. So they turned to a man of God, a miracle in the storytelling. A miracle, a man who respected his mother, though he had no father. The greatest single parent example that we have is that Allah showed us how we are supposed to act even when we don't have a father. How, and also showing at the same time how important the mother is in raising that child to believe in God. Look to God for all the help that you need. Look for the Creator. Look for the revelation that and guidance that he has sent to you in your life cycle time. Well, now we're doing it now in our time. Our time is of the Quran, in these 100 years that we've been under the influence of the Quran, per se. So when we look at Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the responsibility and all the miracles that he has and all that, how they was to please God, and then it makes sense to us. So the mother, we had to turn around today and follow the right guidance on how to repair the family. We have to make sure that mother understands she's the first teacher. She's the first guidance for the male and the female of what their responsibility will be in the future as they grow up, so that they will not see what the neighbor next door is doing. The husband and the wife arguing, or the child next door don't have no father, or you know, and then whatever, blah, blah. All these scenarios will be studied and showed how to avoid if you follow the word of revelation and the example it is given to us in the life of Prophet Muhammad. And a lot of us have not studied the wives of the prophet. You know, we talk a lot of books, but when you start to read on the different wives of the prophet and different things that he had to contend with and what they had to contend with to being married to a believing man, it will give us the type of educational process we want to start at home. And then for us to not think that us not having an environment that was based upon the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad is not the right way, then we got a problem. If we think that we could take the old way of life and all the other ways of life and fornicate them or adulterate them into the life of the Quran, we're going to have continue to have failure. Now, I raised three grandchildren. Me and my wife raised three grandchildren. And we've watched how them not having a world of halal choices available to them, like the world of haram choices, has made it very difficult for them to reach the goal of their names. And I pray a lot that the example that their grandparents has always encouraged them to do, you know. And so it's very important that we have to remember we got to turn around first. And then once we face that right Qibla, the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, that is what the mother is responsible for showing, especially the females in the family, because they got to have future husbands for their children later on down the line, you know. And then the men will learn his mother has to share with him that responsibility of how he's protecting his sister now, how he's supposed to not let nothing hurt his sister's faith, disgrace her, attack her character. That's his job. To protect her and her and mom and grandma or any woman in the community, then we'll start producing
Brother
better.
Muhammad,
thank you
Brother
very
Muhammad,
much.
I need to interject something here because there's a reason why we have a connection with American Muslim 360 on our Wednesday show, because I want to bring together the different people of faith so that they understand that there is one creator. And regardless of our various theologies, ultimately, when we become spiritually evolved, we realize that there's only one creator, and we are all expressions of that creator. So I want to sensitize our people of faith so that even if you have a particular belief, you never say anything disparaging against another faith, because that is not what our Creator is expounding. That comes out of the ego of human beings, everybody wanting to be right and better than someone else, when we're all one and no one's better than anybody. And any historic figure that has had a positive influence deserves our respect. So Kathy Ellington, who spoke earlier, says all respect to the man that spoke, yourself, but she said Jesus was not fiction, and he was in fact a person. Now we know there was some distortion in the way his life was portrayed. We understand that. But as a human being who had a very powerful impact on our culture and our understanding of our relationship with the Creator, he is one that existed, and certainly we should be respectful of that. And she says, I have not spoken against Allah, so the man who spoke should not talk against Jesus. And I'm having our Muslim family join us every Wednesday so that we can become sensitive to the way we project even our faith and never say disparaging things, because we cannot fix this problem in our society if we say hurtful things to people who are striving to heal by reaching out to our Creator. So, brother, I want to sensitize you to that, because the things that we say have power, words have power, and hurtful words have hurting power. And I know that may not be your intention, and I admire your zeal, but, brother, I want our Muslim community and our Christian community to understand we cannot fix this if we attack each other's belief systems. We cannot fix this if we attack each other's understanding. We cannot fix this if we attack each other in any way that's hurtful. And I appreciate you for calling, but I want to raise your consciousness and awareness to that.
Thank you, Naima. You know, let me say this. We are, as Muslims, we are encouraged to adopt the Christ nature. The Christ nature. That is a necessary ingredient for the progress of human beings, of humanity, to adopt the Christ nature. Jesus used an example of the man in the road and the good Samaritan that stopped to help the man in the road passing him by, and he was in need of help. So we are congruent, we are agreeable with the Christ nature. Jesus said, I'm in you, and you are in me. So that nature is a necessary ingredient for our success as human beings on this earth. We honor all of Almighty God's messages, and we definitely need the Christ nature to exist. And at this time, if there was ever a time, we definitely need to adopt and carry out and bring to actualization the Christ nature, the principles that he stood for. So I'll just stop right there. We are one family. One family. The human family. No doubt about it.
Could I have 1 minute?
Brother, I got to move on to the next caller because we got a bunch of people on the line.
Yes, ma'am.
But I do thank you and always call in. We welcome you. Every experience is a growth experience. So I need to open the mic for 773-530. We want to get you before the next break. Please give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
Hi, yes. Once again, this is AMG Peace God calling.
Yes, thank you so much for calling.
Province of Illinois. I just want to thank Brother Kareem. Of course, I want to thank the Female Solution for providing this jewel. I want to thank Brother Kareem for clearing that up swiftly. Beautiful thing that you can reflect on the Muslims that we are to honor, all of our forerunners, especially Yeshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, for us to have that Christ consciousness. Beautiful thing, so praise God for Brother Kareem for clearing that up, because, we also have statistical imagery of who we are as Christians and who we are as Muslims. But, the unity that needs to be displayed as one family, God said we all are children of the Most High God. So I mean to that, Islam to that. As well as that unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb. So I represent that unity. Once again, AMG Peace God. In addition to it, to the reflection of today's broadcast, I don't know how true this is, but I must research myself. But it is said that over 70 to 75% of our households this year alone will be filled with fatherless houses. And that hurts. That hurts my heart. My soul cries to know and to hear those stats, So, and when I'm out here fundraising for June 18th, Father's Day, I see so many women that are, halfway angry, as I, speak on, they're halfway angry at when I speak on Father's Day, and most of them, they was coming up and they was like, man, my father's either dead or, they was just halfway angry. I was like, wow. And then another guy, he came up on me and he said, man, the statistics of that is almost 70%. So, shouts out to the Female Solution for, getting information on those stats or whatnot like that. But, I plan on doing some research myself. But if that is the case, which I do very well believe, that we do have a lot of fatherless homes, So, one thing that Brother Kareem did say is, we have to repair the family, So, it's no big I's and little U's amongst the female capacity and the masculine capacity. I mean, we have to heal the male perspective and the female perspective as a whole. You know what I mean? And what that would do, that would bring repair, repairing and healing to the family. You know what I mean? As well as bringing unity to the body. You know what I mean? So I pray, you know what I mean? It is in my prayers that I'm charging all the men to be men. That's the first thing. Men have to be men in order to love woman. You know what I mean? And once again, that would bring... It's a certain word that I'm looking for, but that would bring the unity back to the body. Oh, the word I'm looking for is me. It'll bring peace. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for.
It'll peace.
Peace. We yearn for peace. Yes. I'm missing myself. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Not just the unity it would bring back to the body, but it'll bring back the peace. And one
that's
thing we're yearning for, we're talking about bringing peace here back on earth. But that peace that we're looking for resides in the man and the woman repairing each other. We have to bring that love back that we have for one another. You know what I mean? And with that, that will ultimately bring peace back to the earth. You know what I mean? So I motion the floor. Thank you for the Female Solution for having me.
But thank you
so much. Providing a platform for my voice to be heard. Thank you.
So thank you so much for letting your voice be heard. We got to take our last break, and Kathy sharing with us. You know, as she said, as I said, a man in the house might not be a father. As I stated, she said, my biological father was a monster. So it's not just enough to be in the house, but to be a loving father in the house. Because if you terrorize the house, then it would be better that you be absent. But we want men to be present and loving and kind. How do we raise our sons to be those loving fathers? We're going to bring back our guest to make a statement before we take next caller, and we want you to see her beautiful face. We're going to also show that to you as well, to place the face with the voice, and we'll be right back after this last break. So we want you to stick and stay, don't stray away. We'll be right back after these few messages, and we're going to take after we hear again from our guest Latoya, we're going to take area code 706-202. You're up after that. Stay with us. And if you're on our switchboard now and got a comment, press 1 to light your number up so we know you've got something to say. And we will be right back after these messages. So stay with us.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered, when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Mm-hmm.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we welcome back to the airwaves of American Muslim 360, the Pearls of Women veteran talk show host Nimad Shahid, as she shares her academic pursuits as a student fellow and her work in interfaith collaboration. Plus, we'll share the debut of the new CWSC Town Hall Plaza. Join us this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Community Buzz, AM360's weekly magazine show, where we ask, have you heard? Every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't miss it. Assalamu alaikum.
In peace. This is our goal.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy, keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Experience with someone who didn't intend for a relationship, but just more or less took advantage of our need for love. What do you say to women who find themselves, because they're hungry for the love of a man, making those unfortunate choices and basically being preyed upon? How do they find the spiritual insight to see when someone is not a good choice for them? How do they develop that discernment so they can protect themselves from abuse?
Well, I know for me, everything starts with just having a personal relationship with God, whoever they call their higher power, and just them knowing that Jesus is there, Jesus knows how they feel. And it's okay for the ladies that's in a domestic, a very unhealthy relationship or has not made the right decisions in life. It's okay to have a therapist. It's okay to have, you know, someone to talk to. Because that's very important, and don't be angry. Don't, you know, go through life being angry, because that's what I did. I went through life being angry, but however, I had to the Wiseman family. I had a psychologist that I had to so that I can process why I'm angry. I had to get to the root of things, and so. Just having someone to talk to is very, very important, because God, he puts all those people into place. So even though, like, my sons, they don't just because I don't know my biological father, God is there. So what I've done was I introduced my boys to Jesus. And my infant son, he claps when he wakes up. He claps during the day, claps when he goes to bed at night. And then my oldest son, he has a personal relationship with God. So I would say reach out to a counselor, a therapist. And then, you know, they can always call 773-256-4144. Just having someone to talk to, and if they would like to connect with me, Women on the Move. Women on the Move is, even though we as ladies, we go through stuff, and so we have to press our way through, and we have to strive for greatness every day, because life is going to throw those curveballs. But we have to know how to deal with them. So that's why having that personal relationship with God, praying and calling and getting a therapist and speaking with counselors and stuff so that we can process that anger and get to the root of things. So that's what I would suggest, that people It's okay to have someone. That's what I would do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that is definitely good advice. And that's ultimately our responsibility as parents, to reconnect our children with the consciousness of God, being aware that there is a greater power from which we come that is always there and that we can turn to, so that even when people disappoint us, we're not in despair. And we thank you for sharing how that actually transformed you so that you could be your best self. And we, for those who are watching, we've got the beautiful face of of our dear sister Latoya Wiseman on the screen. And we're going to take another caller. And, of course, if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, we've got a few minutes left. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And let me go back to the phone lines and open the mic for 706-202. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Sister Naima, and Brother Kareem. And I thank Latoya, and, you know, it's really divine order that my first daughter is named Latoya. And I had to go back to my five daughters when I recovered from my addiction. And part of the recovery process is that I had to make amends. And I had to apologize to them for not being there. I gave material things, but I didn't give the love of a man, being, like Kareem said, you know, any man can be called a sperm donor, but the part of being a father and the biological father is something that is absent in the home. That's the greatest of the statistics, is that there are men that step up to the plate and began to show that part of what man and woman's relationship is, because I had to even own the part of my daughters choosing men that were liking to myself when I was in my addiction and telling them, you know, these are not good choices, and helping them to get through this thing that I gave to them because I was the first man in their life. Then that's what they saw in the way in which I was once upon a time. But then as we've grown and we've developed relationship, and they're all now women, and my grandchildren and how they raised the grandsons, because I always taught my daughter, who had two sons, is that this is your son. He's not your man, and you do not call him a man because he will attempt to be what he see other men do to you. And so it was that part of understanding our relationship, because it takes the mother's blood and the father's spirit to make a human being. This is what we shared as far as what we learned in the continent. And so in the part of that is that the woman's spirit, the absence of that father energy to help her spirit to grow and know what relationship she is to have spiritually. That's why in some religions there is that male image that women tend to look to that spirit to believe, because the absence of that was not in human form in their life. And so these are the parts of what we're having to learn, is how to make the right choices, to make the changes. And it's very important that we understand how we raise our daughters. You know, the old saying is mothers raise their daughters and love their sons. And the part of it is that a woman can only raise a boy into a certain stage in manhood, but then the part of it is he needs the guidance to see what the male role is, you know. And if we don't have that blueprint to give to those young men as their boys, because when they become adolescents, that means that you add the lessons of what manhood is. Adolescence means you add a lesson to girls to know what a woman's choice is, and to boys to know what the lesson of a man is. And so that's why we're called the two parents. It takes a pair to make one, and the absence of that pair destroys that one sometimes. And so we as a people have to begin to understand that I was told I was a self-made man, and that was part of what my uncles used to tell me and my grandfather. But I was thankful for those men that helped me to see, once I recovered from my addiction, that I was able to change and become that man and to become that spiritual helper to those women that were in my life. So I'm grateful. I'm sitting here at my mom's house, who will be 91 on Saturday, and being able to share with her, you know, the thankfulness that I have for what she did with the absence of my father. So it's very important in how we guide the men into becoming, I mean, the boys into becoming men. It's very important that we have that balance, because it's not easy, and society is geared towards attacking black men. You know, they even say that the black man is the most endangered species on Turtle Island. So I'm grateful for this show and to honor that part of balance that we need, and to bring order into our families, because the destruction of a nation begins in the home. And the absence of a man, it brings about the destruction. So I'm grateful for this show. Thank you, Naima.
Well, we thank you for always contributing such wisdom. We appreciate you. And we're going to go to another wise voice. I believe you, I don't know if you've got another caller. Let me take another caller.
Yes, I have two here on the AM360 studio board. I have two callers that have raised their hand.
Okay, well, let's take one of yours, and then we'll get back to our dear Mama D at 773-737. We'll take you after we take the caller on the AM360 switchboard. Go right ahead.
Okay, Erico 718-749. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. Welcome to the female.
Assalamu alaikum. This is William Kareem. I'm calling from New York City. Very interesting conversation, and I would just like to say that we should consider the times that our parents came up in, and especially if they had difficult times or their personalities weren't what we thought they should be, because it's obvious that, you know, there were things that they had to deal with that they were having hard times with. I know that in my own personal case, with all of the talent that my mother had, you know, the school worked against her, and she couldn't take it, and she winded up dropping out. all of that my father went through as far as becoming a lieutenant in the Army. And even though he became a lieutenant in the Army, you know, there were forces that worked against him that made him do something stupid and that landed him in jail. So I'm saying that, you know, but that was the environment, you know, that he grew up in. And there were social circumstances in the culture that affected that they weren't able to get over those hurdles. But all praise is due to Allah. I think that, you know, today, you know, we have to consider the social environment that we're living in. And this social environment presents challenges, especially as far as relationships and love. You know, we live in this social and cultural society of America that you know, they don't even know the language of love. You know, that, you know, the language of love winds up being sex today for young people. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, but they don't know, you know, how to express love as far as, you know, the way that Marvin Gaye and Cammy Terrell and the rest of them did it. You know, they don't know how to, you know, the young boys don't know how to express love. It's all about sex. And as far as relationships today, I think that, you know, women, you know, and I'm talking about just Muslim women, I think that, you know, like, because we have a lot of singles in our community, that they're fickle. And they should be fickle, because the thing is that you don't know who to trust. You don't know who, you know, you don't know who to really have a relationship with, because, you know, like, there's these criteria that women have. You know, oh, you know, he's too young, he's too old, or he don't come to the masjid, you know, he's just a bus driver. I want somebody that's 6 feet tall. So there's all of these criteria that wind up happening as far as relationships are concerned today. And as soon as one red flag comes up, you know, it's disposable. You know, next online. So I think that, you know, the only point that I'm making is basically that we should consider the social environment and the cultural environment that we live in, the social environment and the cultural environment that our parents came up in, and the stresses that were put on them that made them act that way. So that's all I would like to say. It's a very good program. Thank you so very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Brother William. We appreciate you so much. You know, Kareem, you got a lot of choices of topics for the men-only discussion. Maybe you might be able to talk about the pain inside of men that makes them turn to addiction. And sometimes it's as fatherless pain, sometimes it's the motherless pain, you know, with a mother that's so angry and hostile because she's been abused that she can't be loving, and, you know, how that's affecting men. I mean, there's so many ways that we can address that to help men heal from the pain that they're in. Well, we're going to take this caller and hopefully get to that last one on your switchboard, but let me go to area code 773-737. Thank you so much for your patience and waiting. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your words of wisdom today, our dear sister Mama D.
Well, hallelujah, greetings, global transformers. Happy Father's Day and happy Uncle Daddy's Day. Right now, fathers, think about this, fathers. You have a day to be honored but homosexual men have a month, and they cannot be peaceful and multiply, and they can be honored in the Ten Commandments along with mothers that says honor your mother and your father. So I think that's very interesting that they got a month and you got a day. And it's being crowded out by the disinformation of Juneteenth. It did not end in slavery, because that ended in the 13th Amendment that was ratified on December 18, 1865. So that's more disinformation and confusion. But I think that angry is a trigger for everything else that goes on. And I agree that you should not be angry. Now, I married four times, and the reason I did is because I firmly believe that just because one man made you cry does not mean you should never laugh again.
Ooh, I like that.
If you don't want to shape up, ship out. And he goes on. But I was number nine and the youngest girl out of 10 children. I heard my father tell my mother that I was the best child that she had. I don't know why he didn't say they had, but I heard him say she had. And when he tried to be affectionate with my mother, she would brush him off as if she didn't like him. But I could tell that she did like him. And he was affectionate with me. And he emphasized the D when he said my name. And but instead of saying he liked my eyes or they were beautiful and big and bright, he said bubble eyes.
Oh.
And I didn't like that bubble eyes stuff, you know. But as an adult, I realized that it was a compliment, and that was his love language.
Wow.
And so my question is, what happens when you're growing up and you misinterpret your parents' love language, and how important is that?
Mama D, I thank you for bringing that up, because a whole lot of our parents didn't have the capacity to show affection because of their own emotional scarring. And that, Brother Graham, that might be another thing to deal with. How are men taught to show affection? How are women taught to show affection? Because some of them are raised by mothers who didn't know how to be affectionate to boys, and so they didn't know how to be affectionate to girls, to women. And we're a bit of a mess. So that's something to look into. And that has affected many of us who grew up in those households.
Yes, I have heard statements from young men that they never saw love displayed toward their mother. Affection.
Yes.
Displayed toward their mother.
That's a deep thing. And it affects women. Brothers, we got to relearn how to be loving. Because it can be deeply traumatizing to a woman who's looking for love, and all she gets is sex, and then she's cast aside, no affection, and it happens. And what that creates is an anger in us that we spew out to the children. What was the sister saying? She was attacked by the mother saying that you look just like your father. That represented the pain that he left her with. This is what we have to stop this cycle of pain. I know we've got to go, and I want to thank our sister Latoya Wiseman for being with us today. Thank you so much. And Latoya, we're looking forward to having you back on again. Might be on another day with another host, because you've got so much to share. And we thank you for taking out time of your day. We know you're a busy woman. You're on the move, but you're still hanging in there with us and sharing your wisdom. We appreciate you so very much. And look forward to having you back. And Kareem, I know you had one more caller on the line. I apologize. We did not get to you. But call on in next week.
We don't have enough broadcast time left to open up the lines at this point.
But we'll certainly look forward to you coming back. We're here every Wednesday. The Female Solution, joined with American Muslim 360 and our Facebook and YouTube family. We appreciate all of you for all of your comments. And our dear sister Kathy, we appreciate you so very much. And she says men who can't show affection really don't like women. Sometimes they're still angry at their mother. Sometimes that's where it is. And thank you so much. She said, great show. Thank you, Kathy, for your contribution. She says, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, your precious love. Like, that's an old school sound. That was love from the heart, not just the...
Well, we have come to the end of the broadcast of the Female Solution here on American Muslim 360. Very enlightening, very invigorating, very inspiring. subject matter as we approach Father's Day. As we approach Father's Day, someone always does. Okay. Praise be to Allah. We came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. I want to invite you to tune back into American Muslim 360 this evening at 7 p.m. for the broadcast of Narrative Aspirations, hosted by Khalida Akbar Abdul Aziz. Narrative Aspirations, words that aspire. Praise be to Almighty God. We came to you, as I stated earlier, with the greetings of peace, and we leave you with the greetings of peace in Quranic Arabic of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, remain forever regardful of Almighty God Allah, and remain grateful and thankful for what Almighty God has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he shall do for us. We have to be thankful. Almighty God asks a question of the whole of humanity. In the universal message of Quran, Surah Rahman, Allah asks humanity, Tabi'ayi alay rabikuma tukadiban, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? We have to remain thankful and grateful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatton. We've got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, seal and prayer, Ben's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children is asleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
You gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Cuss and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be right. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong. And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine. Stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.